Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Yeah, so thanks, guys. I'm just going to spend a few moments to do a little bit of sharing, and today I want to share with you about the story of Jacob's transformation, which is a very familiar, maybe a very well-known story for all of us. But today I want to really map out a few steps so that we can identify where we are at with God and what are the steps that we have to take next. So I think that will make a very good breakout discussion after the sharing. So I'm going to go ahead with that. But before then, please read Genesis chapter 32 at home, because it's a long chapter, and I will just share a few verses. But please read the whole entire chapter in your own times for your own benefit, right? So yes, I do want to share with you about the story of Jacob's transformation. Jacob, despite his flaws, rejections, sins, and brokenness, Jacob eventually became the man he wanted to be and the man that he needed to be. So this is the journey of Jacob's encounter with God, a brand new chapter with God that he didn't expect. So in Genesis chapter 32 in verse 24, it says, "So Jacob was left alone, and the men wrestled with him all night until the break of the day. The men dislocated Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled." So how did Jacob find himself in such a messy and chaotic situation? Look, he was like alone with God. He was alone in the darkness, contending with God himself. So as we explore this story of Jacob, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will show us where we are at with God, and what does he want us to do for the next steps. How many of you guys know that the story of Jacob is not just the story of Jacob? The story of Jacob is our story. It's your story and it's my story. So, let's just go to the next slide. Jacob was a smart man. You know, he always had some more tricks than you did. You know, he always had some comebacks, you know, if you wanted to fight him. And he knew how to dodge his way through, and he knew how to get his, you know, to get what he wanted. Now, he was a pretty smart man, but how did he come to a place where he was like, where the word says he was in great fear and distress? Well, at the end of the day, he realized, we have to go back to 20 years back, you know, where he ran away from home because, like, he lied to his dad, he lied to his brother for getting the birthright, for getting the blessing of the Lord. So he lied to his father that he was the older brother, and then Isaac says, "Well, okay, well, if you're the older brother, then I'm going to bless you." And then after that, his dad realized that Jacob lied to him, and he had to run away. So you see, that's the consequence that Jacob realized. And how many of us believe that there is still the principle of sowing and reaping operating in our lives? You know, things in our lives that happens to us, well, we sometimes have to look at, have we actually sown that? Because we reap some of this stuff like Jacob. So let's just read that verse. "In great distress and fear, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and camels as well. Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to my own land and your relatives, and you promised me that I would treat you kindly. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he might come and attack me, the mothers with the children that I have. So in Genesis chapter 27, in verse 41, a few chapters back, where Jacob actually said that when the days of mourning for my father are over, then I will kill my brother Jacob. So like years ago, Jacob already knew that his older brother is going to come after him. And obviously he waited for 20 years. And now he's at the point where he realized that his brother is coming after him with 400 men. You know, so I guess like, you know, there's a good place to feel fear and distress. And why? Because he sold it. You know, he lied to his father and he cheated his brother and he ran away from home. So now he has to face the consequence. And because of that, great distress came on him. And I guess like the question is, do we have great distress on us sometimes, or do we fear certain things? And we have to, I guess like we have to do a bit of reflection just to see, hey, look, why do I get that? You know, why do I feel distress, or do I fear people? Is there something that I've done? Because I think a lot of us, self-included, I'm talking to myself, we're not really good with reflection. You know, when we're in trouble, we just want to ask the Lord to help us and help us and help us. But we didn't really think about what got us into that, right? So this is what Jacob is doing right now. Yes. Talk about prayer. How many of us pray when we are in distress, when we are under pressure? You know, I think this is what Jacob is doing right now. And when he was left alone and he prayed, in verse 24, it goes, Jacob was left alone and a man came and wrestled with him. And the man fought with him until the sun came up. When the man saw that he could not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of his socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So when Jacob was in prayer previously, he also had a bit of reflection, because like I was thinking, why would he pray and why would he wonder? Okay, so sorry, let me go back to the blessing of God first. I want to touch on the blessing of God first. Okay, so what is the blessing of God that Jacob was after? A lot of us might think, oh, well, maybe, you know, the blessing of God is a new house, you know, a new car, or I can get married, or some sort of things that we can enjoy in our lifetime. But how many of you realize that Jacob was actually really rich? The blessing of God is not about riches, because like Jacob had cattle and sheep and cows and everything. He's got everything. He was a really good businessman. So why would he still ask the Lord to bless him? He's already blessed with his business and financial, the financial aspects of his life. The blessing of God is not about getting a good wife or getting a good husband. You know why? Because Jacob had two wives. The blessing of God is not about having good children, having children as well, because Jacob had 11 children at that time when he asked the Lord to bless him. So he had everything. So what is the blessing of God to him? Why did he still ask the Lord to bless him? So really, the blessing of God is not about all those things that we mentioned. So what is it? If we can go back to the life of Adam and Eve, when the Lord created them, the Lord actually said, be fruitful and multiply. And guess what happened after the Lord commanded them to be fruitful and multiply? The word says the Lord blessed them. So that's the very thing that Jacob was after. The blessing of God is almost like a supernatural enablement to enable him to live the life that he needs to be, to have that supernatural empowerment so that things can happen for him the way God wants, you know. So that is the blessing of God. And for me, we can have all the riches and all the right things, but without the blessing of God, you won't have the peace of God. Without the blessing of God, everything is hard work. Without the blessing of God, you have to fight every inch of ground. It's just hard. But when you have the blessing of God, God actually activates something in you, and he will guide you and he will lead you. As a result, things can actually happen very effortlessly. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to be diligent. I'm not saying that we don't have to work hard, but you can work hard and not get the fruit. But you can work hard, but at the same time, you feel effortless and you feel like, you know, things can actually flow in your life. So I believe that that's what Jacob was after. And also on top of that, I just really felt like Jacob, I believe that Jacob reflected a lot, because like he ran away for 20 years, 20 years worth of reflection. And I believe that he actually desired redemption, and he knew what he did wrong. And if I looked at his life, I would have thought, man, what? Because I wanted the blessing of God, and now, because I wanted the blessing of God, I had to lie and cheat. I had to run away from home. And then I had to work for 14 years. It's just too hard. You know, why can't I just go back and obey God and just pray and say, God, okay, I want to do what is right by you. And so I don't have to upset people. I don't have to disrespect people. I don't have to lie and cheat. And I guess like Jacob probably came to that point where he thought, well, you know what? I think life is not about what I wanted. I think life is all about seeking God above all else. Life is about listening to God when I need direction. Life is about trusting in Him when I don't understand. Life is about obeying Him even when it's hard for my flesh. So I guess that's a reflection that we all have to come to. And sometimes when we say, oh, well, we have to wrestle with God, or we have to fight with God, maybe prayer is one of the battles or one of the wars that we have to do. But maybe a deep reflection is a fight in itself, because like somehow you have to dig out some of the wrong beliefs. You have to dig out, why did you make those wrong decisions? And sometimes God may not speak to you. And sometimes you might have to take a little bit more time to meditate and to think through and to reflect on some of the mistakes that you make, and to revise some of the wrong beliefs that you used to have, and then to make some changes. That in itself is a fight. So I want to encourage us sometimes that when we say we are fighting with God or we are wrestling with God, so what does that mean? I think for me, a big chunk of it is about reflection. It's about going deeper to think, okay, why did I think that I am useless, right? Oh, right, because I was told it when I was young, but do I really believe it? You know, subconsciously, maybe I believed it. Okay, so is that right? No, it's not right, but it's hard to change. So how am I going to do it? I have to work, I guess, like in a way, we all have to renew our mind that way and to really think through, why am I thinking that way subconsciously? What was wrong? But the thing is, I also have to ask myself, can I change? Yes, I can change. I can revise my belief, even though I was told I was worthless and useless, but I can change. I can change my mind. Oh, why? Because I have to go back to what God has spoken to me. Okay. And maybe I was spoken to by my family or my close friends, but I have to look at what they say as only loose ends. I know it sounds brutal. I have to look at my own thoughts as sins. And only what Jesus says is the rock. And Jesus says that you are wise if you build your life on the rock, not on the sands of the seashore. And this is something that I have to learn to battle in my mind. So that's my own battle that I have to fight with God with. Amen. Let's just move on to the next one. And then And then the man, which is the angel of the Lord, or some people say the Lord, and I believe that that's the Lord. And he asked Jacob, what is your name? And Jacob replied, Jacob. And then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. The man told him, from now on, you are called, or you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with man and have won. So I was thinking, why did the Lord ask Jacob, what is your name? You know, in the middle of the fight, you know, in the middle of the night. What a random question. Why would God ask that? And then I felt like the Lord actually led me back to a few chapters back in 20 years ago. In 20 years ago, his dad, Isaac, asked him, he said, who are you coming to my bedroom wanting the blessing of God? And then Jacob said, I'm Esau. I am the older brother. Give me the blessing. This is the food. Give me the blessing, Dad. You know, when you really think about it, his dad asked him, who are you? Because back then in the Jewish culture, your name represents your life. Your name represents the purpose of your life, like Abraham, the father of many nations, Joshua, the Lord saves. So your name is very important. And 20 years ago, Jacob wasn't being able to be honest with his dad. When his dad asked him, or when he was asked, who are you, who you really are, he couldn't tell the truth. He said that, no, I'm someone else. I'm someone else. I'm not that. I'm not who I am. I'm not what God says I am. I'm not God. I'm not what God wants me to be. He couldn't be honest. And I believe that 20 years after, the Lord gave him another chance. He said, I want to give you another chance. I want to ask you who you really are. And I believe that at that point, Jacob actually came to his senses. He told the angel of the Lord, my name is Jacob. So what does that mean, the name Jacob? The name Jacob means a twisted liar. So when you think about it, the Bible actually says that Isaac loves Esau. And then imagine Jacob would say, you know what, every day, everyone knows that my dad loves my older brother. Everyone knows that my dad calls me a twisted liar. You know, everyone knows, and I wasn't born with a blessing of God. And everything I have to lie and cheat to get, and I have to fight for everything in my life. So in a way, Jacob was actually confessing to the Lord. He said, Lord, this is the lot of my life. You know, I wasn't really born with everything. I wasn't really born perfect. You know, I was born sinful. I was born broken. My name is Jacob. So I guess, like, in a way, he made a really deep confession before the Lord. And yet the Lord received it. And then the Lord gave him a new name. He said, well, you know what? Thank you for your confession. No longer your name be Jacob. No longer you'll be lying and cheating your way through to get what you want. You know, from now on, you'll be called Israel. What's the meaning of the name Israel? The name Israel means a prince ruling and reigning with God. So he said, from now on, you are my prince. Isn't it interesting that the Lord used the word my prince? It didn't say, you're my general, or, you know, you're my angel. Is it you're my prince? So when God says you're my prince, that means your father is a king. Okay, the king has a kingdom. But more than that, that means like the king is your dad. So I believe that in a way, the Lord is saying that even if your father doesn't love you, I love you. I will adopt you. Even if no one wants you, I want you. I'll be your father. I will father you. I will send people to father you and to make it up to you. And you will be my son. And not only that, you will be my prince. And not only that, you'll be ruling and reigning with me. So I believe that that's actually one of the points from the story. And then there, the Lord blessed Jacob. So, yep, that's my sharing. So you can see from, I hope you can see that the slide from the left-hand side, you can see all the way, there's a map there from the flaws, consequences, fear, all the way to transformation. You know, like from then on, Jacob, the Lord gave Jacob a brand new destiny, a brand new identity, a brand new purpose. And that's how he got transformed. So yeah, so the question for us is that where you are at with God right now, and you can actually use those words as a map just to see, oh yeah, maybe I'm there now. Okay, well, actually now I started to realize I'm full of flaws, and that's why I suffer some consequences. That's why sometimes I get emotionally worked up. Okay, well, that's where I am. So what do you have to do next? Okay, so you can actually work it down all the way and trust the Lord that at the end, the Lord will give you a new purpose, new chapter, new identity, and a new transformation.